610 at WFMD. Welcome back to your Monday. Back to work. Bob Miller, Ryan Hedrick. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm great, Bob. I'm so glad you tossed it to me when you did, because I just let out a huge sneeze. I'm great
for
you.
Oh, good for you.
I am. Go ahead. I'm a little stuffy this morning. I woke up really early. And no. There's nothing to see
here. He's got the vid.
No, I'm unvaxxed and unfazed by being unvaxxed. Thank you very much.
I know that you probably spent the weekend. I am so excited for the NCAA women's tournament. It's got Florida Atlantic, San Diego State, Miami, and UConn in it. Man,
wait a minute. You said the women's.
Yeah, that's the women's Final Four, right?
No, the men. The men. What are you talking about? The men.
Well, there's no North Carolina. There's no Duke. There's no Alabama. There's no Houston.
Now you're playing games, right?
It's like Florida Atlantic, for goodness sakes.
Yeah. They're tough, man. They're very tough. You know, they're 35-3 this year.
Let me ask anybody, do they still have a good bracket? That's the question.
No, I think I got a notification that, we know that nobody has a perfect bracket in the country. I don't think. Let me look in my bracket media.
I actually deleted mine.
Oh, did you really?
I deleted the app. I was just like, I'm done. I'm toast. Everything's red now.
Okay, so in my bracket that has 15 guys from Barrett Media, one of them has Connecticut as the national champions. The other ones have Purdue, Alabama, Duke, Arizona, Houston. I had Houston. Kansas, they're gone. Duke, they're gone. Yeah. So, yeah, nobody except one person has the national champion intact.
And it's UConn, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, UConn is tough. UConn is very tough. So I think the story of the tournament right now is Jim Larrañaga. Jim Larrañaga, the coach of Miami, was the coach of George Mason when they made that incredible run. And, boy, Miami is tough. Those games were really fun to watch over the weekend.
Yeah, it's, two Florida schools and a California school and a liberal school.
A liberal school? They're all liberal schools.
Oh, that's true. They're all liberal schools.
All big lib schools.
In liberal Connecticut.
Yeah, in liberal Connecticut. Yeah. Yep, that's where Connoisseur Media is located, Bridgeport, Connecticut. How would you like to do a morning show as conservative as you are in Bridgeport, Connecticut every morning?
I'd love it.
Oh, yeah?
I would love that.
Okay.
Yeah, I would love that.
Bob wants to take on new things and meet new people.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, have people. It would have to run the board because you wouldn't take a phone call if somebody disagreed.
I will not take phone calls. I will not. I don't want to talk to you. Don't call me. I might be the only radio host here who says do not call us. Don't call us. Just text. It's almost like, so my friends know, people that try to call me know, and I think you've felt the wrath of this. The call will go straight to voicemail.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it will go straight to voicemail because I leave my phone on do not disturb all day.
Just FYI, folks, for people who don't know this, if you don't answer Ryan's calls, why haven't you answered me? I'm texting you. I'm calling you.
Oh, my goodness. Bob, we have such a big show this morning. We are going to break a major, major, major story coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. That's all I'm going to say. This story is so big, and nobody knows about it. And it centers on Second Amendment rights and a local gun shop that was harassed by the ATF. And the CEO of this gun shop is going to join this show at 8:40 to tell us a story of how not only the government is going through asking for personal information from customers of the store, but how a big bank canceled his bank accounts when he wouldn't cooperate with the ATF. This is an explosive story that we're going to break right here on the Morning News Express coming up at 8 o'clock. Well, after 8 o'clock, 8:40 exactly. So it's 6:15 at WFMD. We have to do sports right now. Here it goes.
9:30 WFMD Sports Update.
All right, the big story is, of course, basketball, but I'm going to lead with local lacrosse because the Urbana boys and girls teams swept the Kaylee Myler Track and Field Invitational on Saturday. I have other lacrosse action. Boys lacrosse, Oakdale big winners over TJ 20-1. Catoctin over Middletown 9-5. Men's lacrosse, Mount St. Mary's getting a victory 10-7 over Wagner. Women's lacrosse, Mount St. Mary's beat Niagara 15-14. All right, NCAA Final Four is all set. It pits number 5 San Diego State against number 9 Florida Atlantic, number 5 Miami against number 4 UConn. Those games tip off at 6:09 on Saturday and 8:49 respectively. The Maryland women are playing South Carolina State. That's a 2-1. That game tips at 7 o'clock on ESPN. It is 6:16 at WFMD and WFMD.com.
Morning News Express at WFMD. Good morning, Rise and Shine. I've been Adam, Bob Miller, Ryan Hendrick on the radio for you.
Oh, yeah. Another Monday. I woke up, Bob. I felt like it was Friday, and I don't know, I woke up at probably 12:30, and you've told this story before on the air, it's hard to get back to bed sometimes, and I got up at about 2:30, I watched a little bit of Fox Nation, I watched the, don't know if you know, they brought back the Cops series on Fox Nation, remember they canceled that during the George Floyd protests in 2023.
Yeah, I want Live PD back.
I do too. I do too. But they have a version of Live PD called On Patrol Live.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's pretty good. That's on, I don't even know if you know what the channel is, Reels. You know what Reels is?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have it?
I'm not sure if I do or not. I know what it is, but I don't know if I have it.
Okay, so that's where On Patrol Live lives right now. It lives on Reels, and that is Friday and Saturday, just like Live PD was. So they've quietly brought it back amidst the cancel culture.
Yeah, but, you know, does it have the same host?
Oh, yeah. It's okay. The same show. It's just rebranded. It's okay. The same exact. Yeah. They have Sean Sticks, Larkin? I think it's Larkin.
Larkin.
Yeah, and Dan Abrams, who's a big lib.
Big lib.
Yeah, he's a
Say
big lib.
Say it proudly.
Big lib!
Yeah,
he's a huge liberal. So, you know, interesting to note that, and I just sent you this text message, but on Friday it was brought to my attention that the city of Frederick released its crime stats for 2021 and 2022. And we'll get into this with Frederick Mayor Michael O'Connor when he's on the show tomorrow for his monthly visit. But interesting to note that year over year between 21 and 22, crime in Frederick is up 17%. Homicides are up 300%.
Remember, of course, I'm taking the mayor's position here.
Uh-huh.
So if you had one in 2021 and you had two, then it's up 100%. So, And look, any homicide is a bad homicide, but we went from 1 to 4.
Yeah, but it's still a considerable jump considering the fact that, you know, Frederick is a safe community, and it's a disturbing number that I think needs attention. That's my position on it.
Well, I know, but it's easy. It's kind of salacious to say 300%. And I'm not saying that 4 is not a bad number of people being killed in the city of Frederick. It is horrible. But it's not like, I mean, Baltimore or Chicago. I mean, you know, that can, I don't know. I'm not trying to justify homicides. I'm just saying.
Correct. You don't want to be
easy to say, well, 300%, where it's, you know, I'm just, again, the mayor, that's what the mayor's going to say. Look, it's not a high number, but it's too high of a number.
And I get it.
But it's not a high number.
And I get it. And I kind of agree with O'Connor, but in the same sense, I want to be realistic about these numbers and what they represent. And I think what they represent, let's take homicides out of the equation, right? Crime is up 17%. Let's look at a violent crime like aggravated assault. Those numbers are way up. That's almost 26% increase between 2021 and 2022. Those are violent offenses. Larceny theft, which to me is a major problem in Frederick right now, that's up almost 20%. 1,023 larceny thefts. And I keep telling people, keep suggesting, download the Neighbors on Ring app. to know what exactly is going on in your neighborhood, because there are videos every day, new videos posted with people rummaging through unlocked vehicles. For heaven's sakes,
well, but see,
lock your vehicle.
Yes, I agree. But look underneath of that larceny theft. So that's probably when you're talking about larceny theft, that's probably the biggest number is people breaking into your car.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. We also have motor vehicle thefts, where I think people's vehicles are just being taken. That's up almost 7.5%. Arsons went from 5 to 8. That's up 60%. So I think what we can take away from these numbers, and I think we could both agree on this, even if we don't agree about what they actually mean, I think we both know that Frederick is changing. There are people coming here from... well, that weren't born here. People that are, I think, more juveniles are committing crimes. And I think these numbers indicate that the community is changing, and we need to have a more candid discussion about crime in Frederick and where it's really heading. But because I think crime overall across the nation is up. Frederick County Sheriff Chuck Jenkins said crime is up more than 30% in the county. So, of course, it's going to go up in the city.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And one of the weird numbers that I thought was the human trafficking and sex acts and human trafficking involuntary servitude. I thought we had had a couple of those cases, and maybe it was...
I think it was in the county. You're talking about the brothels that were raided by the sheriff's office last year? Yeah, that was in the county. So those numbers aren't going to be in the
sure?
I think.
Yeah, I guess maybe so. I don't know. I just thought they were not in the county. I thought they were right there on Route 40, but maybe I'm thinking back further, even further. Yeah. So. There you go. Excitement 641 at WFMD in the Morning News Express. Bob Miller, Ryan Hendrick. And it's Monday.
Oh, yeah. We're getting it done, Bob.
Yeah.
On a Monday. On a Monday, I've never been so excited about a Monday, because tomorrow we have the business forum, WFMD's first ever business forum at the Spire Stages downtown. We have five great businesses participating. We have a film crew that's going to show up there. We have Mayor O'Connor, Richard Griffin, the economic director, and of course, Rick Weldon and I will be moderating this event. Free to attend. Still time to get out there, of course.
You know, tickets are $89.95. Mail it to Bob and Ryan.
They go to Bob and Ryan, exactly. No, it's free for the community. We're already planning our second town hall, so very, very excited about that. So I want to go back to the crime numbers, because there are a couple of crimes that we don't, or the public isn't privy to yet. And some stuff coming down the pipe that I think may bolster the violent crime numbers that have occurred in Frederick this past year. So we already have one murder. We don't know if there are other murders, because, of course, we have missing people. We don't know what happened to them. Specifically, I'm talking about that young kid, that 15-year-old kid that they were looking for in Gambrel Mountain. So that might be, that might go to some other numbers. I don't want to guess about what happened to him on the air out of respect for the family. But I think that, again, we need to have a candid discussion about how our community is changing and adapt to those changes. When I talk about a rise in crime, I certainly don't blame any specific person. I just want the truth. I think we all just want the truth, especially from our elected officials and our police chief. We want to know what exactly is happening. And I was told by a police officer in this community over the weekend, we were talking and having lunch, and he said, look, a lot of times what law enforcement does is they withhold some of the information because they don't think that the public can actually handle the truth. I mean, it's well known that press releases sometimes are watered down by agencies because they don't want all the facts to get out there. I don't think the government, local government, state government, federal government, fully trusts the response from the American people to not overreact in times of panic or fear.
Well, I mean, if that's what he was saying, I don't necessarily agree with that, but I think that we as the country can handle a lot of things. Now, maybe it's a little bit different from when you and I were growing up and how things are handled today. You know, now we need safe spaces and stuff like that. So maybe he's right, but that shouldn't, that's not really, that's not really their call. Their call is to give us the information and not withhold anything.
So is your position that you believe police agencies and, you know, these government agencies that release things via press release, do you think they're always honest with us?
Well, no. I mean, you just said that a police officer told you that, they're
not. Yeah, but do you think, when you see these news releases come across, do you think we're getting the full story?
I think we are getting as much as, you know, as they said, that they that we need to know at that moment. It depends on whether it's a closed investigation or an ongoing investigation.
All right.
And because sometimes they I think they probably put things out that maybe might help them lead them to the person who actually did the crime.